see. You can't cry cause you're laughing at me. I'm down.
Morning, Denver. When you know I'm down. I'm hoping as you get up, you aren't down, but we've got something for you today to hopefully help you out if you are. This, you're listening to You Get the Blessing, and I'm Bob Belts, the co-host and the host of the show, Bo Mitchell. Bo, good morning.
Good morning, and welcome, everybody. Occasionally, be it circumstantial or physiologically or whatever, we get down. And this program exists in part so you can hear Beatles music, and so we can introduce you to wonderful guests like we have every week. And once in a while, we just set aside a program to do what we call tips from the team and just hear from Bob, hear from me on a topic. So, Bob, you introduced our topic today, and please stay tuned here because this is going to be very informative and we hope helpful to you.
Well, Bo, as you know, I speak most Sundays at Highline Community Church, and it was interesting. Recently, I was reading an article in the paper that said that, and it's past us now, but that January 17th was going to be the saddest day of the year. And basically, you know, with you look at kind of what happens when we don't get enough sunlight for a certain period of time and the whole stress of the holidays, and apparently that happens to be a day when bills are coming in, and somehow sort of when all of these things coalesce, it creates the worst day for depression. More people are depressed on that particular date than any other time of the year. And I felt like it was important to maybe take a look at this whole issue of depression, because I know, first of all, I struggle with it. It's kind of one of the things that I've had to work through the years. But I know that particularly in the context sometimes of our faith, trying to figure out how do you process, does the scripture have anything to say to this issue, and you know, what you know, maybe does God have to say to us, it might be of some help. So I launched out and did some research and put together some thoughts, and you felt like maybe some of that would be helpful for our audience today.
Absolutely, and the word depression just conjures up notions much deeper, much more concerning than just having a bad day or in a bad mood, let's say. Is it fair to attach clinical depression to the word depression, or do we mean even just for people that are discouraged?
Yeah, I think there's a big range on this. And of course, again, you know, when we you know, we kind of looked at this at Highline. I think the title I gave was something like "Beating the Blues," because we all kind of get the blues. We're all down certain you know, times, but for many people, you know, once that sort of down emotional slump goes for a period of days, it can turn into something that's really quite scary. So we're kind of talking about the whole range, really. And again, you know, part of what, as I look at it from a kind of a biblical perspective, and because this was an issue in my life, is an issue in my life, I began kind of looking for places in the Bible where people, you know, spoke to this. And it's amazing in the Psalms how many times that either, whether it's David or some of the Psalms were written by other people, that this issue kind of jumps out. And here's a great definition, by the way, of depression, and it comes right out of Psalm 42, where David, the king of Israel, and one of the most successful people that ever lived, if you kind of looked at his life within its context, king, you know, wealthy, a hero of his nation, close to God, actually was called a man after God's own heart, and yet he writes in Psalm 42 and 43, on four different times he makes the statement, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" And I think that's a great kind of biblical definition of what does it mean to be depressed. It means that somehow, you know, in your emotional, you know, part of who you are, you really feel down. You're just downcast and disturbed and perhaps distressed. So
if you're listening and maybe you have any connection with what's being said there in terms of being downcast in your spirit, just know what Bob and I are getting ready to share here today is to encourage you. We don't want this to be a downer. We want to identify this and say, you know, you're not the Lone Ranger. There's people to your right and to your left, probably in every church in this city. in every place of business that are feeling this. In fact, I remember Mike Wallace, the newscaster years ago, had suffered from depression for forever and did not know it. And when someone finally diagnosed this, he was like, wow, there's things that can help me here. So
yep,
it exposing it through that celebrity, he had kind of helped a whole thousand group of people to feel better.
And I think that's important because really, again, I think one of the main things to say in this area is that, you know, at some point in time, really, unless you're very unusual, everybody gets depressed. So you kind of begin to, with sort of to, first of all, just to sort of give people permission, because I think that a lot of times when we're struggling with kind of these kinds of issues or emotional issues, there's a little bit of a stigma attached. People don't, you know, if we say to somebody, hey, how are you doing? You know, rarely will they say, well, actually, I'm, you know, I've been depressed for 4 days or whatever. But I think one of the things in the whole issue that's very helpful is to understand that there's different kinds of reasons. You know, there are different reasons why we experience depression, and depending really on sort of identifying what is the cause of depression has a lot to do with how you attempt to tackle it. And I think it's interesting, you know, that David is sort of asking that question in this text. Why are you downcast? In other words, what's going on that's making me feel like this? And there's a number of different sort of main reasons why people get depressed.
And I loved it when you walked the church through these reasons, because things just don't happen in and of themselves, for and by themselves, but reasons sometimes can help us learn how to adjust to whatever it is that's going on and get better. So fire away on those, and I'll interrupt you when I think of something.
Good, good. Well, you know, I think probably maybe the most frequent reason why people get depressed is what I would call circumstantially based depression. And that simply is that sometimes we have difficult things that happen in our life, and the natural response to that is that sometimes our circumstances can really get us down. I really think we've been through a time in our country, and hopefully kind of turning the corner right now, where there have been a lot of reasons to be depressed. A lot of people have lost jobs. A lot of people have been downsized. The economy has been, you know, quite difficult. And in periods of time like that, oftentimes, you know, people really struggle and do get down. And I think that that's an area, by the way, where there's a lot of sort of, again, because I like to kind of look at what does God say about this? It's interesting that in Scripture there were times when circumstantially, you know, people were really quite depressed and distressed. Classic is probably the book of Job. And, you know, the book of Job is a story about a guy who really is a little bit on top of the world when the story begins. I mean, he's a successful guy. He actually is called a righteous man in the sight of God. He has a lot of wealth. He has a big family. Everything seems to be going well. And then really, without him knowing the reasons, we sort of get a glimpse behind the scene when we read the book. But for reasons he isn't even aware of, suddenly everything just, you know, he loses everything. He loses all of his wealth. His children are all killed in a tragic accident. He gets into a position where he is afflicted with, we're told, boils from head to feet. And literally, it just doesn't get much worse. And he gets to a point where he despairs of life and really, you know, says, I wish I'd never been born. And so sometimes really it's our circumstances that can, you know, create a situation where we're really off.
Yeah. So if you're feeling that, read the book of Job, and misery loves company, as the old saying goes. You may get some encouragement just by knowing this is in the Bible and it's in here with intentionality and purpose and of benefit for you.
Yeah. And I think there's a whole list of people, you know, as I was kind of going through this, that again, biblical heroes, major biblical characters that found themselves in situations where they really did feel down and depressed. And really, even Jesus had this experience. And I think that this is, you know, again, sort of a classic illustration. But when Christ was getting ready to go to the cross the night before he went to the cross, and he knew what was coming. I mean, first of all, crucifixion was, you know, the most horrid form of execution that had ever been invented by the human mind to that time. And the Romans, you know, had figured out a way to make dying extremely painful and prolonged and agonizing. And Jesus knew that this was what he was facing. And secondly, not only was he facing that physical reality of what was about to come, but he also knew that the reason that he was going to be willing to suffer that was that at a point in time during his crucifixion, really the sin of the world was somehow going to be placed on him, and he would be actually dying and experiencing what he was experiencing in order to provide forgiveness. And somehow, in a very mysterious way, he would experience separation from the Father for the first time, throughout all of eternity. And so he goes to the garden to pray, and you kind of know that story. But it's interesting that in Matthew's text, when he goes to pray before the arrest and the trials and everything else, he says to his disciples that he says, "My soul is distressed even to the point of death." And so he is so overwhelmed and depressed and down about what is to come. And of course, he actually goes and prays three different times that if there's any way that what's about to happen, you know, could be taken away from him, that he asks the Father, let this cup pass from me, and then three times relinquishes, obviously, and says, but whatever your will is. And so even Jesus, you know, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, experienced this difficult emotion.
So depression can be circumstantially based. How about number two?
I think the second one, and this is one that I really wanted to address, particularly with our church, because again, I think that sometimes in faith communities, we sort of get the message that if you're really spiritual, you know, everything's going to go well and you're going to be able to put on your happy face. And again, I tend to think of, church should be a place where we can come, be real with each other, share our struggles. And sometimes depression is really biochemically based. There's a actual physical basis that's going on in certain people's lives that's making them depressed. And when that is the reason, you really can't have simply some sort of an emotional or spiritual solution to the problem. It's really a problem that needs to be tackled physically. And again, we fortunately live in a time where there is help, and where medicine has come a long way in trying to figure out ways to help people. But even back in the scriptures, there were times when the cause of depression was much more physically based. The example I used with our group was the experience that the prophet Elijah had in the Old Testament. And Elijah lived at a time when the king of Israel was named Ahaz, and he married a woman named Jezebel. Jezebel worshipped Baal, which was a fertility cult in the ancient world, and Israel constantly seemed to have problems getting sucked into it. Jezebel wanted to kill the prophets of God and exalt the prophets of Baal, and there came this showdown, really, where Elijah the prophet said, "Gather together 450 prophets of Baal and meet me at Mount Carmel." And it's a great story, by the way, in the Old Testament and in the Book of Kings. And what happens there is that Elijah, God shows up, demonstrates to everyone that in fact he is God, that the prophets of Baal, that Baal is a false god. And it's this tremendous, tremendous experience that I think Elijah had both spiritually and emotionally, this great conquest. And then almost instantly, we're told that word gets out to Jezebel. She says, "I'm going to kill him." He has to flee. He runs away. And the next thing we know is that Elijah is in a situation where he is so depressed that, again, he calls out to God and basically says, "Take my life." And it's fascinating how God meets his need, because in the text we're told that an angel comes to minister to him, and basically what the angel does is provides food for him and says, "Here, eat some of this and take a nap." And Elijah goes to sleep. I mean, he's totally exhausted. And by the way, he just has run an ultramarathon. We're told that where he started out at Mount Carmel and where he has this encounter in Beersheba is at least 80 miles, and he ran there. So he's physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, emotionally exhausted, and physiologically he's just, he's ready to throw in the towel. And God's solution is rest and eat, rest and eat. And again, it very practical. And we live in a time where oftentimes people don't get enough sleep, their diets are bad, but there can be this very difficult biochemical imbalance that some people have, that apart from medical intervention, depression isn't going to get better. And I think we need to give people of faith the permission to say, hey, you know, and my advice, by the way, to our congregation was, as soon as you're experiencing depression that's abnormal, lasting for more than a couple of days, go see your doctor and know that God works through medicine sometimes.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. You're listening to the voice there, Bob Belts, and we're talking about depression today and the different influences that can be almost just overwhelming you in your life that can cause this. So hopefully someone's getting encouraged as we talk about chemically-based depression, biochemically-based depression, and just keep rolling here, Bob. You're going fast and furious, so take us to number three.
Well, and let me just say one more thing about biochemically based, again, because in our family, we have people that, when this gets really bad, it can end up in a situation like a bipolar disorder, and where people, again, they have no capability of controlling what's happening to them emotionally. They'll go from stretches where they go from the heights and, feel like that they're, nobody can conquer them. Their minds are going 100 miles an hour with new and exciting ideas. And then in the same way that they get, up like that, which is sort of the manic phase, then the bottom falls out. And there's, again, depression that can be so intense that people become suicidal. And apart from some kind of medical intervention and doctors helping you get that balanced out, you're not going to get better. And so, again, if you struggle with those kind of things, my encouragement is to you to seek medical help. Third area is what I simply called emotionally based. And I guess that sounds maybe a little redundant because depression is emotional. But by that, I was talking about that sometimes our life circumstances have been such that really our depression can be emotionally based. And, if you have grown up in a family that is extremely, perhaps dysfunctional, and the result of that is that perhaps you've never been nurtured, that life for you has been maybe a situation where approval was always based on performance, and the result is that, none of us really match up to those kinds of perfectionistic standards that sometimes that we've grown up with, whether we've imposed them on ourselves or whether it's a result of our parenting, that, that we can end up with a situation where emotionally, we feel bad about ourselves, and we know that people that struggle with low self-esteem that attach to that oftentimes are, really kind of a depression physiologically. Again, depression can be rooted in these kinds of life experiences. And in those kinds of times, we really need to work through that with someone that's professional, that can help us maybe untangle some of the twisted things that happen in our psyche. And depression can really be rooted in some of these sort of complex and difficult kinds of issues. So that was kind of the third, big issue there. And, I know that my, I think some people have grown up in families. We've had guests here on our show that have talked about some of the horrible abuse and neglect that they experienced growing up. And, some of us have sort of perhaps grown up in what looks like the emotional Addams family, where things are just very bizarre. And of course, when you're a kid and you're growing up in this kind of an atmosphere, oftentimes you aren't aware that, hey, this is weird, and it's, it shouldn't be like this, and you can't go up to your parents and say, hey, you know what, I'm done, I'm going down the street, I'm moving in with a family that's more normal. So again, this is, I think, where God gives gifts in the area of counseling and therapists and people that are professionally trained to help with what is sort of an emotionally based depression.
And so if you've been fighting issues like this for years, even tied back to your family, it's almost a form of craziness on our part now that we're 60 years old to continue in the same ways that we've been, if it's making us crazy. And there are reasons, facts behind the symptoms. So that, I'm with Bob. I encourage you to go to a counselor. Bob preaches every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. There's a great group at just off the corner of Arapahoe and University at Highline Community Church. and you'll hear series like this one. So get help. It's nothing to be ashamed of. In fact, what is to be ashamed of is just waiting around for a lifetime and saying, I'm this way because the devil made me do it, or that couple called my parents made me do it.
Yeah, and I, you know, and again, kind of to those that maybe have grown up in a religious context where, you know, you're not really allowed to, you know, maybe be vulnerable or open or honest about feelings, and you know, spiritual growth is all a matter of memorizing Bible verses and attending church and et cetera. You know, it's interesting that there's a lot of people now in the area of helping people grow spiritually that recognize that emotional growth really is an important part of spiritual growth. I've just been reading a book called The Emotionally Healthy Church, and great book, a story of the same thing, of a pastor that basically, how about this? One morning, his wife came up to him and just said, you know, I'm quitting the church. Now, you know, that's hard enough to hear from someone that's maybe just a member of your church and decided they don't like you anymore and they want to leave. But when it's your wife, you know, it's pretty serious. And basically, you know, that sort of started a journey for them as a couple where he had to begin to deal with some of the deeper emotional issues. In his case, he really had anger problems. I think for a lot of men, depression manifests as anger, and you know, that guys can, you know, can just get extremely can be very difficult in the home context, can begin to be emotionally or verbally abusing with their spouses, and it's again kind of this emotional unresolved anger kinds of issues that are manifesting themselves that way. And oftentimes, you know, someone has said that depression is anger turned inward. And so again, you know, this can be something that it's hard, you know, it takes time, it takes worth, but part of what I think God wants to do in our life and what the Holy Spirit is doing as a transforming agent in our life is sometimes helping some of these things surface that we have to deal with them, and then helping in the process of bringing healing emotionally in areas that are causing us to be depressed.
Bob, you've got about 3 minutes to do number four.
I'm doing number four, and you know what? I guess that maybe a lot of pastors would have started with number four, because there definitely is a spiritually based depression, and oftentimes you hear the most about that. So when I was teaching on it, I decided I would hit these other areas first. But I think it's important to understand that when our life is out of relationship with God, and when there is sin in our life that is, you know, unconfessed, that oftentimes that can lead to depression. And one of the classic examples of that in Scripture would be David, again, who, along with struggling with some of these other issues, when he had his encounter with Bathsheba and became an adulterer and really, you know, setting up her husband to be murdered, a murderer, and then he tried to hide all that and stuff it. Psalm 51, which is kind of the classic psalm of confession, in there he talks about how God's hand was just heavy upon him and that he had lost the joy of his salvation. And so he confesses his sin and he begins to deal with these spiritual issues. And the consequence of that is he prays, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." I think it's important that one of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5 is joy. And I actually think it's possible to have one of these other forms of depression and yet still be joyful, because God at work in our life can kind of give us that deep inner sense. But when the issue is really, you know, spiritual, then the way we learn to deal with that is, one, if you're not in a relationship with God, this becomes maybe the trigger, saying, hey, you know, my life is miserable. I'm tired of being miserable. I need some help here. And God, you know, this might be the way that he's sort of knocking on the door. And for some people, simply opening their lives to God and beginning that relationship can go a long way toward, you know, dealing with depression. I think for people that are, you know, have a relationship with God but have made really, really bad choices and consequently have sort of cut off the experiential fellowship with God because of sin in their life, then again, you know, the good news is that if we confess our sins, Scripture says he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and really kind of purify us or cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and we can get a fresh start spiritually and can, you know, kind of slowly see ourselves come out of depression and begin to experience what Bible calls the joy of the Lord. So to me, these are the big four. So when David says, why? it's important to identify, you know, what the cause is. And then having identified the cause, I think in each of these areas, there's ways that we tackle it appropriately, knowing what the cause is.
You've said a lot in a short period of time, and I hope you listeners accept this as encouragement. And Bob, one final word before we sign off.
I was just going to say, if anybody wants to hear more on this, you know, the message that I gave, which is a little more extensive at Highline, you can get it off iTunes just by going into podcasts and putting in Highline Community Church, or you can go to the Highline Community Church website, which is highlinecc.org, and just go to listen to messages, and you can go back and find this message on how to beat the blues.
We care for you all, and we appreciate you caring for us. By the way, you let us know you're tuned in, and I hope if you need to hear and put into action what's been said today, you'll do it. So blessings, you all. See you next week.
Grandma's ring, woman throws it away. Same old thing happen every day. I'm down. I'm really down. I'm down.